comedy podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together. It's a certified fucking good time.
Yeah!
The Gooner Army will rise up. The Gooner Army will not be stopped. The government cannot stop the Gooners.
Wow. Welcome back.
The federal government wants to take your guns. They want to take your guns and make you come, but we will not come. We will goon.
I regret to welcome you back to another episode of Are You Into Bus Stuff?
Welcome to the podcast, baby.
Welcome back.
How are we doing today?
Oh, man, I'm super well. Weather has turned around here in Colorado. It's been in the 60s, so I've been feeling like a human person again.
Oh, we had the most beautiful day here in Austin yesterday. I rode my bike 55 miles, and then I went to work, and I worked a whole shift.
Nice. That's lovely. Yeah, I mean, I love to see here in Denver the, like, hardcore cyclists, you know, cyclist commuters and, you know, folks who will go out after we've had 6 inches of snow, and it's, like, 20 degrees out, and they're riding their road bikes, and I'm like, wow. It really is possible, and... you know, the road bike by itself is not a machine of death. Yeah, you might slide on the ice and fall. And yes, you might get hit by a car. But if everyone were just able to, you know, buck up, get on their bike, you can ride a road bike through, you know, snow if you find the right path.
Yeah, it's crazy how that works. I've definitely taken bikes with thin tires out in, like, minimal winter weather. Just because in Austin, we don't really have ice, snow.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, you got to be aware of your center of gravity.
Yes. Yes. But especially the cold, you know, I would bike to work. I haven't been, my current commute, it's a little bit more, I don't know, I feel better taking the bus because the distance and the number of incredibly scary roads I have to cross in order to get to my office is... you know, just prohibitive. So I take the bus, allows me to get other stuff done while I'm commuting and, you know, just kind of chill on my way to work. But, you know, before when I had a shorter commute, I would often bike and I would bike on really cold days. I mean, I don't like to bike in the ice or the snow. I'm not the most comfortable cyclist. You know, I'm, you've seen me bike, you know, I can bike, I promise. Okay. You know, people would be like, oh my God, you biked in today? Oh my God, it's like 20 degrees. And I was like, yeah, you know, you wrap your face up, put your gloves on. It's okay. You're going to be okay, buddy.
People are really cucked by car life. Like, people lose touch with what it's like to go outside.
Mm.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, man. People are like, you came today? And I'm like, well, I didn't stop being poor.
Had to continue working. I mean, same thing when it's really hot. I'm sure in Austin, you know, there's days where you're, like, drenched by the time you get to work.
Yeah. No, we've had some fucked up weather the last couple of weeks. I've still been biking to work. The chef saw that I was wearing these wool socks on my hands with little thumb holes cut in them.
Oh my God.
And then he brought me a pair of gloves that he said didn't fit him.
That's a good chef. That's a good. Thank you, chef.
Very sweet, sweet Dan.
Thank you, Chef Dan. Taking care of our little
Dan,
Benny.
The third Dan in my life.
You have a lot of Dans in your life. I have a Dan in my life.
As I know them, Crackhead Dan, Meathead Dan, and now Chef Dan.
I know that you would call my Dan, who is really more Daniel, but I call him Dan. You would call him Jew Dan.
No, one of my Dans is a Jew too.
Nice. I mean, Daniel, kind of classic name.
But he's like he's a Cajun Jew, which is a very specific breed of person.
Yeah, no, it's incredible.
He's like a redneck.
Nice, nice. But listeners, we have an exciting announcement here. We have our first guest to the podcast. We have an anonymous guest. So it'll be your job to, you know, guess who they are and track them down, find them,
get them, give them the business.
We won't be doxing them, but we hope you will.
Oh my God, it's the worst introduction.
That's almost as bad as some of the stuff you said a couple weeks ago.
We like our guests.
Our guests are the lifeblood of our podcast.
I've been listening to a really sad piece about the Sandy Hook families, and I keep thinking about what I said a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
About swatting a Pizzagate on them and beating them up. And I'm like, oh, good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to frame to the listener that Ben is in full control.
The government is trying to get you. The government will get you. They will take your guns. You will never be free.
Yeah.
Sorry, podcast I'm listening to is about Alex Jones.
Okay, so you've been a lot of Alex Jones on the dome.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, yeah. Your Alex Jones impression is not too terrible.
So I want to do a bit where, because like Jerry Seinfeld is always sort of incredulous, and so kind of in a similar way to Alex Jones. So what if? So the government is trying to get you. They're going to take your guns. So we're workshopping that bit.
Nice, nice. Jerry Jones. Yeah, that's someone different.
Jerry Seinfeld. Like, we need to take the text of Alex Jones and then make Jerry do it.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like some of it, you know, could be a dialogue. Like, an Alex Jones monologue could be a dialogue between Jerry and George. You know, I see George, you know, sort of like exasperated, you know, they're turning the frogs gay.
They're turning the freaking frogs gay.
Oh, goodness.
Those are my two best impressions. Everything else is very weak.
I recall. Yeah. Well, should I give the boy the,
Let's get our guest in here. We have a guest. I can't believe we have a guest.
I said at him.
Honestly.
Yeah. It's pretty freaking sick. It gives legitimacy to our podcast. Listener, I hope you understand how much credence this lends to what we're doing. And I know that you already feel like it's important, but now it's very important. It's way more important than any other podcast.
Please keep doing that.
They're getting run over by cars.
Yeah. Will you say people are being hit by cars?
People are being hit by cars. Fast cars. Not slow cars.
People are being hit by cars. What's the deal with pedestrian deaths?
This is going to be the episode that that makes our career here, I think.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we're going to be poor forever until we get hit by a car.
What's the deal? The government. That's the only thing I can say in that voice. It always starts with the government.
My mind just goes to they're turning the
deep state.
They're turning the.
This is as deep as the deep state gets.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. I just think about turning the frickin' frogs gay. And then, like, selling supplements. Like, that's the other Alex Jones thing that really, like, comes to mind for me.
I was thinking about that and how it's like not the most evil way to monetize your weird media empire.
I mean, it's up there.
Like, you think he really believes it? Do you think he really believes in his like penis pills and stuff?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's a totally dishonest way to get forward. Totally dishonest.
I don't know, bro. He's crazy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, listener, on from Alex Jones and his penis pill grifting to a conversation.
Our anonymous guest.
With our beautiful anonymous guest. They are a theater director based in Austin, Texas. So, Ben, you guys will have a lot in common. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on, Mr. Guest.
So great to be here as Mr. Guest and no one else.
We did encourage before you hopped
Welcome
on.
Welcome to the show.
Before you hopped on, we did encourage our guests to figure out who you are, or our listeners to figure out who you are, track you down, you know, and do unspeakable
and get you
things to
triangulate
you.
My location. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hit you with a car.
We're going to drop clues. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Great.
If you can hit the mystery guest with your car, we'll send you a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's funny you say that because I recently heard that this apartment complex that I moved into a few months ago, not my building, but the one next to it, got hit by a car. A car, like, drove through somebody's closet.
So people don't realize how frequently cars hit buildings. But it's a non-trivial amount of traffic fatalities. I'd have to double check the numbers, but I'm pretty sure it's something like 3-7%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like traffic, like cars hit buildings all the time. Every 7-Eleven has been hit by a car. liquor stores get hit by cars every day.
Why do you think there's a correlation there, Ben?
I don't know. Beyond me.
yeah, I mean, anecdotally...
They just really want to, probably.
Yeah, it's probably not, like, what they sell at the store that causes someone to be terrible at driving a death machine.
Or rather, sorry, it's like... It's like 3-7% of non-motorist deaths. So, like, let's just say of all the people who are not in a car who get killed by a car, most are walking. Maybe 15%... 10% are cycling, 10% are on other non-bicycle motor, like, conveyances. But, like, a good chunk of them are just in buildings.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Fucked up.
Like, unsuspecting.
I mean, anecdotally, I have a friend who lives at the intersection in Denver. Listeners, you can look on your map here. Pull out your atlas, listener. He lives at the intersection of Hampton and Santa Fe in Denver. So Denverites, you will know where I'm talking about. There's this big blue apartment complex, and there's sort of like a freeway interchange that it's sort of like planted underneath. And one time someone flew off that interchange and like soared through a second story apartment in the building while my buddy was living there. Luckily, no one died. But yeah, so... you're never safe. You're never safe.
It's true that if you live like close to a major road, you're sort of always in a little bit of danger.
I was just going to say that like growing up in Austin, like there's a lot of, streets that weren't major roads at one particular time. And so a lot of houses got built onto them. And then now they all have driveways that like dump out onto these like very busy roads. And like, ever since I was a kid, I was like, I couldn't imagine trying to have a car and live on such a busy road and try to get in and out every day without getting hit.
That's a really great observation. That's the same thing in Denver. I feel like that's the same thing in any city that has a legacy of a streetcar, where, you know, mm-hmm. you used to live. Yeah, it was along the main drag and yeah, it was loud, but you could still like walk out onto the street. But I see people in Denver like trying to back out of their driveways into like 40-50 mile an hour roads, and it's like, geez.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So, Mr. Guest, I know we only have you for, you know, another 10 minutes or so. So I wanted to, you know, ask you some questions on our beat. And, you know, Ben, please chime in as we get into the conversation. But, you know, how do you usually get around beat him up? How do you usually get around?
Yeah, how do you get around the city? Talk to us about your transportation choices.
I choose to drive a death machine car. Have since I was like 16. And yeah, that's my primary mode of travel. Occasionally when I lived closer to the one train line in Austin, I would take the train to work and take it back and sometimes to go out downtown. But... it's not a very convenient train. I don't live close to the stop anymore, so I'm mostly driving.
Why don't you ever, like...
Wait, where were you living? Where were you living where you would take the train occasionally? Because I've never lived anywhere where it has ever served me at all.
I was living in Crestview, and so my apartment complex was on like Lamar and Sugary Ave was the intersection. So
that
I was
makes
truly,
sense.
Yeah, walking distance from the train.
That makes sense. Did you go to Black Star a lot?
Sometimes if I missed the train, I would go to Black Star and get a beer and wait for the next one.
And you
rest in peace, and, workers' co-op.
And you worked downtown, right?
Correct. So yeah, where the train terminated, that's where I would get off.
We
at 4th and Red River.
We should terminate that train for sure.
No, there it's.
They want to.
We'll have to do an episode about the train.
They actually did put out some new stuff about Project Connect, like some more specific like engineering details of like what they're going to build in the next phase. So seems promising.
We should bring on Mike Domus to talk about the train. He's a blogger who has a very detailed account of how we got where we are with our transit system being so useless.
In Austin specifically or the U.S.?
Right, right. He was involved in the early 2000s with some public planning, and then they ousted him, and so he wrote a unhinged blog for a decade. And with a detailed historical account of all of our like transit planning choices. But it buried in there is like just the Red Line was just such a bad idea from the get-go.
Yeah, I remember the two of you would lovingly call it the train to nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, it served you, Crestview. Crestview benefited a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, the decision of the line and like the placement of the stops is a little bit random for the first light rail in Austin.
It's not so much random as it is a reinforcing of transit. Is supposed to be like a progressive economic policy where you're redistributing wealth from like the upper classes to the lower classes. But the way that that money was spent, it essentially operates as a subsidy from the public at large to mostly like higher income areas. So in addition to being it not serving a lot of people, just not serving very dense areas, it also serves like the people least inclined to use transit.
Yeah, I do think ACC students, because it does drop off at one of the Highland campus, like they use it pretty frequently. But I think they also get free tickets because they're students. But other than that, yeah, I'm not really sure who else is frequently using the train.
What does a train ticket cost? Is it just like a normal 3-hour pass or...
It's like $2.75 for seven for a day pass or something.
Seven for a day pass.
Nice, yeah. That's.
I've never taken it.
And I'll be honest, they don't check the tickets, and so it's one of those systems where like you buy the ticket and then you have to activate it for them to like scan it or whatever. And so I frequently would not activate it unless I saw somebody who was checking tickets. So you could get by on riding the train for free.
Yeah.
So Trent, mystery guest.
Yes.
What ballpark of the city are you in now? You're up by.
I'm in North Loop area.
North Loop.
So like North.
So
Central.
that area is you could ride a bike if you wanted to, right? However, most people I imagine don't feel particularly safe riding a bike in an urban environment like Austin. Normal people.
I'm not a confident biker when there aren't cars around, so I'm not really going to do it when there are so many cars around.
No. It makes perfect sense.
I do know that you also, I mean, you live along a sort of central drag where you could hop on a bus and get downtown in, you know, about 20 to 30 minutes.
That's true. That's
what deters you.
That is true. What, I could take the 3.
Yeah, what deters you from choosing that option?
It's slower every time.
Yeah. I have ADHD, and so when I am thinking about going out, I will twiddle my thumbs for far too long, and then I'm like, oh, I gotta go. And if I take the bus, it's gonna take twice as long, so I will just Uber or drive.
And then this is paired with the completely free availability of parking everywhere in the city.
Indeed.
At all times. That's the thing. Every street in the whole city has 2 lanes of free parking all the time, with the exception of downtown. And even downtown, you can still find a spot. In like one of the biggest metros in America, right? I mean, not one of the biggest, but it's a big one. It's like top 20, 30.
Well, and like, again, growing up in Austin, I remember as a kid, parking downtown used to like always be free after 6 p.m. And like on the weekends, it was always free. And so like now that's not exactly true anymore. However, the audacity of my like Austinite brain just tells me it is. And so, yeah, I will risk it every time and I will get free parking. So I'm, yeah, it doesn't deter me that I'm like, I might have to hunt a little bit for a parking spot, but I know I can find something.
Something that's interesting about the car as a mode of transportation is that it's the only mode that requires like vehicle storage at your source and your destination, right? So like the normal people will take transit to an urban center when it's really hard to park downtown. Like that is really very frequently the limiting factor or like the main contributor to the decision-making process of somebody who's trying to choose between modes for a given trip. But in Austin, it's true. There is freely available parking everywhere at all times, no matter where you go. And that's like a design choice that actively prohibits the free flow of pedestrian and micromobile traffic.
Yeah, I would go so far.
Take the scooter pill, people.
Yeah, I would go so
far. Scooter pill.
I would go so far in Denver to say that it is almost always very easy to find a parking spot. I've been in Austin downtown, especially, you know, around festival times, things like that. Like, it can be really hard to find a parking spot. It can take you a little while. In Denver, like, there isn't even that barrier. It's always fairly simple to find a parking spot. But transitioning from that to, you know, I know there's been a lot of discussion around the removal of the congestion pricing to Midtown Manhattan. And that's exactly what you're describing, Ben, right? Is that's an extra deterrent that encourages people to take transit. Is, you know, another cost to deter people from taking their personal property, their giant two-ton vehicle, into a dense urban area. I know both of you guys have lived in New York City, so I'm curious, you know, how, you know, you relate to the urban environment when you're not in a car. Like, how do you notice yourself, you know, behaving differently when you are in a place where you're taking transit? Because I know you both, you know, rode public transit in New York City.
One thing I like about having a car in Austin is that it is my purse. I can store a lot of things in it. Whereas in New York, when I don't have that, I have to like pack a bag and like basically hike through the city, which I don't mind, but it requires a lot more intentionality and like specific planning for my day to day. Whereas I can just like throw a sweatshirt in my car for the next like 2 months and know that like if I need it, it'll be there.
This is insightful.
Yeah.
When I'm in the city, I'm on alert. I'm just, you got to look alive when you're in the city, you know.
Yeah, never look down.
I don't know. It's so much more social. It's so much less of a deeply, less of a fundamentally isolating experience to be in New York City. You step outside and you see the same neighbors every day and you actually see people. No matter where you go, there's people. Sandwiches, bagels, lox, pizza.
Rats.
I like to drink beer out of a paper bag and just walk down the street with a slice of pizza.
At 9 a.m.
And no one would look at you, you know? Rats. I mean, my transport, I would never, riding a bike in New York is fucking terrifying.
I bet. I couldn't even imagine.
I think it's scarier than riding a bike in Austin.
I could believe that because I had some friends who drove in New York and I always thought they were crazy. Like, I'm a pretty confident driver, but the way that they would describe the roads, it was like the lines on the street are mere suggestions. There are no rules out here. And that is terrifying.
Yeah. And I mean, New York has installed a lot more, you know, many, many miles of like protected bike lanes and stuff. But I mean, there's still tons of intersections and just the sheer density of vehicles it would be terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me, sorry, not to like totally change subjects, but like in some of those Project Connect expansion plans, they have talked about turning Guadalupe from, let me see if I can get this right, like 29th Street to MLK into a no car zone. So it would just be buses and the train line and bicycles and pedestrians.
that was to save dirties, I think. That was the compromise. Partially, it's like, well, if you don't want to tear down the restaurant, you can't have cars at this point.
Yeah, so they shifted over. So they got rid of, like, what used to be that Taco Shack, and I think they're getting rid of that gas station, too.
Oh, no, Abu Omar Halal.
Exactly.
Oh, no. Oh, no, the gas station that has bars on the windows and makes you order your fucking seltzer through a window after midnight.
But, yeah, it'd be interesting to hear you two, like, dig through that recent plan announcement.
Yeah, we should do...
Project Connect is good. We need to build that rail. The feds might defund it, pending.
Yeah, very true.
So that's not good. Lucas, you were right a few weeks ago when you were like, well, things could get a lot worse.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's...
Don't you hate when you're right, Lucas?
Typically, yeah. Typically, I do. Sometimes I'm right about, like, nice things. I was right that it was going to be nice out on Sunday, and I planned a nice
isn't that nice
little bike ride, and yeah, it was really lovely, so that was good. Well, Trace, I know that we...
That is a good thing to me.
Indeed, yes. Yeah, I'm lagging like crazy.
Who?
My computer, I'm tracing the past with my mind through reading. Mystery guest, I know you mentioned that you probably only had 15 minutes. You wanted to get out and go for a run or something like that. Did you have any, you know, closing remarks? Or, you know, I'm curious.
That is exactly what I plan to do.
I'm curious, you know, why you decided to come on this rogue podcast and use your important and valuable time to talk about transportation. You know, why do you think this matters? And what message would you leave for our listeners about transportation and equity?
I mean, I think... that transportation is like a primary social service that we should be providing for people who live in metropolitan areas. Like, it is, I don't know how to say this. Like, it lubricates social movement. Like, it's an important thing that gets people not only just around town, but like exposes them to opportunities they might not have. Like, if they're just stuck in their own communities or whatnot, like, I think it's a very fundamental thing. And it's something that our government should be prioritizing as we, like, I mean, we've already destroyed so much of the environment. Why not make it a little bit like easier within the destroyed land to get around in a bit? You know what I mean? I'm kind of just blabbing right now.
There's a distinct, there's like a palpable difference in the economic and social mobility between Austin and New York, like a city mm-hmm. with public transportation and without public transportation.
Yeah.
Like, the poor don't have access here. Anybody in the greater New York area can get to access, like, infinite employment opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's like, you just better hope the fucking bus comes.
Yeah, at all. Or that they're running the train at all. Yeah. But no, I mean, Austin is moving or trying to move to a place of better public transit. And I would love to see that accomplished within my lifetime.
Yeah, I think the expansion of I-35 is a great place to start.
That's not what I'm saying.
I know, I'm being nasty.
But yeah. No, I know. I hate I-35. It does not need more lanes. It has too many already. And yeah, a lot of businesses are currently shuttering along I-35 because of the expansion. Haha.
Bro, I can't believe they're going to make it bigger.
Yeah, it sucks.
It fucking sucks. I have to cross it twice a day already.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's awful.
And that's the other thing. If I'm going to get clocked anywhere, it's going to be on the I-35 service road.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's insane is, like, Austin's infrastructure is so crazy. Like, the way that the streets are designed are, like, as if, like, stoned hippies did it, which is probably true. But to then expand upon a system that's already so convoluted, it's just like, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
They hate us. They want to kill us. They would rather kill us than run the bus.
They'd rather run us over than run the
bus.
Yeah,
man.
They'd rather
they just hate poor people.
Yeah, they'd rather reinforce exactly what you guys were touching on, which is that when a city is built like this and driving is the only way to get around, it keeps people in their economic position. But thank you so much, mystery guest, for coming on. I want to make sure we're taking care of your time so that you can do the things with your body to make yourself feel whole and wonderful. So thank you so much.
Find him. Hit him with your car.
They can't catch me. I run too fast. I'm going to
hit him with your
car.
This is a mandate.
All right. Goodbye, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You are a treasure to this earth, and we are very grateful that you are our first guest.
Y'all might be my two favorite cyclists when you're in Austin, both of you. That might just be true.
Aw. Well, ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now. Adios, boys.
Oh, well, they're a good sport.
Oh, yeah. That was really nice of them to do. I'm very frustrated with my machine here. I think it's when I have the actual window of the Zoom up. I think it's trying to process the video and the audio. Because now, and maybe it's with two people, I don't know. I'm frustrated. I need a new computer.
Sorry, I'm looking up Alex Jones quotes to workshop my Seinfeld bit. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I'm a human. And I'm coming. I'm animated. I'm alive. My heart's big. It's got hot blood going through it fast. I like to fight, too. I like to eat. Oh, my God, Alex Jones is crazy. I've got a life force. This is human. This is what we look like. This is what we act like. Indeed. That's so good. Oh, my God. Well, that's the whole podcast now.
That's wonderful.
I scratch everything we did last week. We need all of our listeners to write their congressman and tell them to legalize gooning.
And outlaw driving.
Yeah, ban cars. We did make t-shirts. They are $50. They're $50, including tax and shipping and everything.
At roadway.report?
They're up. If you just go to roadway.report, if you click through info and then to merch.
More about. There we go.
So, yeah, you can buy a Hit Me With Your Car. You can buy Bikes Don't Kill People. You can buy Scooters Don't Kill People. We have a Trucks Are For Cucks. And we have a legalized drunk driving shirt, which that one's kind of sarcastic. The others are not sarcastic. But the legalized drunk driving shirt, we don't condone that.
It's sarcastic.
But if you want to buy it, we won't stop you. It's sarcastic. It's a conversation starter.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I think I'm partial to Bikes Don't Kill People. I like that one.
Do you like the back?
I think it...
The bag's crazy.
Is redundant. I think you could just say a map of every traffic death in America.
Well, I want people to read it and be like, well, what is a map of every traffic death in America?
Roadway.report.
And then see the roadway report.
Well, I think it's, I don't know. It's implied. It feels.
You know, you could even pare it down to every traffic death in America.
Yeah. I mean.
I think you're right.
Roadway.report isn't. Necessarily.
If you want to buy a first edition, extremely roughly designed, atrocious. If you want to buy an atrocious and expensive T-shirt,
this is the podcast for you.
Go to roadway.report.
Yeah, 100%.
And support us.
We'll use the money to probably buy cheeseburgers.
Oh, if someone buys a T-shirt, I'll make another one that says the Gooner Army is strong. The Gooner Army will prevail.
Wow. Wow.
Did you goon today, Lucas?
No. But I guess the day is young. I don't plan to, but...
How was your week? Do you have any transportation content? Because all I really had was T-shirts. I've been working a lot of shifts at the restaurant, so I haven't been up to much.
Yeah, I've been engaged professionally in a few different ways. I may have an update soon, which is sort of exciting, but going to hold that off the air for now. You'll have to listen next week, listener. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I've got. I do need to like eat and kind of take care of myself, take a shower before I head to the office. So I probably should hop off a little early today. But I feel like our first guest, that was a massive success. Hopefully the recording will be better than mine. And I loved hearing from, you know, Trace's, I loved hearing from the guest.
You know, dude, hit him with your car. Find him and hit him with your car.
Yep. So yeah, that's me. So yeah, stay safe out there. Enjoy the warmer weather now that it's not so frigid down there.
Yeah, have a good week. I'll write to Mike, see if he wants to come on the pod. Still talking to that car designer.
Right. If we can't get that Mike, we could get my dad Mike.
Oh, fuck. But no, he's not the vibe we're looking for.
Says you.
The government! No, actually, he might be the vibe we're looking for.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised. He definitely would talk a lot.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Let's keep it short and sweet. See you next Monday?
Yeah, let's plan for that for now.
Okay. All right, love you. I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, love you, man. See ya.